Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
Like Rev just said, faith is not trying or attempting to do something for God. Faith is not an assumption. Faith is not a risk. Faith is not walking in the dark and not knowing the next step, so you are trying. No. That's not faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, Philemon 1 verse 6 says that the communication of your faith is only made effective by acknowledging every good thing in you. There is a reason he said this. He says that the communication of your faith. You are in Philippians 1. This is Philippians, not Philemon. Philemon 1 6 says that the communication of your faith is made effective by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you. And why Paul was saying this was because of a very important thing I want to share with you today. Are we here? Wave your hands to Jesus Christ. How many of you remember the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, the verse number 6, that you who were dead in your sins has he quickened and has made to sit together with heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Is that not so? Shana, you are sitting here in this auditorium in Gombe. But the Bible says you are seated where? In heavenly places, even in Christ Jesus. But you are seated here. Have you also realized the Bible says in Romans, when Paul was talking about our salvation story, verse 3, know ye not that you are dead through the baptism? The Bible said, reckon ye yourself to be dead. So when he was saying this in Romans chapter 6 from verse 1, shall we continue to sin because grace abounds? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin any longer? Then he says, knowing this, go to verse 3. Know ye not that so many of you that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Then the Bible now says, therefore, if we are buried together with him into the baptism of his death, like Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we should walk in the newness of life. Verse 5 is the issue. Let's go to verse 5. He said, if you have been found and planted together with him in the likeness of his death, then you shall be found in the likeness of his resurrection. That means you sitting here, the day you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, you died with him. And you resurrected with him in that simple act of, Lord, come into my life. But you didn't die, you are standing. I want to show you, if you find this key, your Christian life will change. It will destroy the energy of works and bring you to the energy of his grace. The idea is this. When Jesus died, Bible says we died together with him. When he rose up, we rose together with him. And we are seated together with him in heavenly places. But I find myself to still be alive. In fact, when I accepted Jesus as my savior, my complexion didn't change. Hey, even the bad thoughts I have, I still have them, even though I accepted Jesus. In fact, many times when you even do altar call, after the souls are won, they don't look like they have been won. They look like they are depressed, walking back to their seat. The same way they came, the same way they walk back. Yet they say they are saved. What is happening now? Paul is telling us the problem with our faith. Faith can only be properly used, communicated, experienced when you acknowledge every good thing that is in you. But that good thing that is in you is a part of you that was saved. At salvation, when you get born again, your spirit is what is saved. Your body is not saved. Car. Your body is not saved. Your body is yet to be saved. So 1 Peter 1:5 tells us the salvation of the body. He says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto the salvation yet to be revealed. When? In the last time. So there's a salvation to be revealed in the last time. That is the salvation of our body. That salvation he now explains to us. On one hand, Paul says, actually John says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, but it does not yet appear what we shall be like. But when we shall see him, we shall be like him. But the same John said in 1 John chapter 4, this is 1 John 3, but 1 John chapter 4, he says, that perfect love casteth out fear, because we know that there is torment in fear. And he says, we will love like how Jesus loved, because like he is, so are we. But the same John is saying, we are yet to become like him. Same John. This is the reason why when people read the Bible, on the surface, they say the Bible contradicts itself. What is already like Jesus is your spirit. What will become like Jesus is your body. Your body will be redeemed. The Bible calls it, to wit, the redemption of the purchased possession. So your body and your soul have been purchased. 1 Corinthians 6, serve the Lord thy God with your body and your spirit, which are purchased. They have been bought at a price. Your body has been purchased, but your body and your soul has not been redeemed. So our Christian walk is the transmittance of what Jesus has finished into our experiences. Let me repeat it. You are a heavenly being manifesting in earthly places. You are not a human being trying to be like God. So you are like a heavenly being having earthly experiences. Why? If you have been born again, you are born from above. He said, he that is from above is above all. So you are born from above. You are born of the Father. That means our salvation, sir. Everything, Bible said, and such were some of you. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 11. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are purified, ye are justified, even by the Holy Ghost in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So at salvation, your spirit is saved. Your soul and your body are not saved. Please hear me. What it means is this. When Colossians 2 verse 10 says, ye are complete in him, he was not talking of your body. He was talking of your spirit. What this means is that you are more than a conqueror before you started fighting. That experience is in your spirit, not in your body. You look like Jesus in your spirit, not in your body. He has this treasure in earthen vessels. Earthen vessel is your body, but the treasure is in your spirit. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So where God has deposited his power, his glory, and his treasure is in your spirit. So Paul is saying that if you don't acknowledge what is in your spirit, you cannot communicate faith. That means that faith has never been an attempt. Faith has been a transfer manifestation of what has already been deposited. If you don't understand the finished work, you will struggle with faith. Kamala Shoya. Are you here? So he said, you have to acknowledge every good thing that's in you. Now, do you know? The Bible says that you, a Christian, you have the fruit of the Spirit, not the seed of the Spirit. So love is not a seed, it's a fruit. Joy is not a seed, it's a fruit. But the part of you that has that fruit is not your body, it's your spirit. That means that if you pray to God for love, it's a mistake. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, is there. But where it is, car. I want to show you something today. Why what we said on the first day is important. For the word of God is active and alive, sharper than any two-edged sword. Listen, he said, has given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers. The Greek actually says we might be partakers of the theos physics. There is the physics of the divine. What is physics? The study of the nature or the laws of nature. So he's saying that when you know what is written, you will be able to participate in divine physics. There is physics that God operates with. Please, are you here? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, so quickly. If it's deposited in my spirit, sir, you are seated already, but you are in Gombe, but the part of you seated is your spirit. Are we together? In fact, the Bible says, and have put on the new man, Ephesians chapter 4, 24, which is created after God in holiness and truth. So you put on the new man. And if the new man has to do with your spirit, then clearly what was crucified was not your body. Knowing this, that in Romans 6 verse 6, our old man was crucified. That is your spirit, your old spirit, the way your spirit was. Because Ezekiel 36, 26 says, a new heart and a new spirit I will give to you. Wave your hands to Jesus Christ a bit. Just wave it. So the part of you that got born again is your spirit. Are we here? Please, are we here? But the part of you that got born again are the finished works. But there's also something called his present works. Why do I say that? Sir, if the death of Jesus brought me life, what would the life of Jesus do for me? If the sickness of Jesus brought me health, what would the health of Jesus do for me? If his poverty made me rich, then what will his riches do for me? So you can see a lot of us are at the place where his poverty brought us wealth, but we have not accessed the wealth that he also brings. We have accessed what his death brought us, but we have not tapped into what his life will bring us. The Bible says in Romans 5 verse 10, if therefore we have been saved from the wrath which is to come, much more now being saved, we shall be delivered by his life. So there is another salvation his life brings us. There was a salvation his death brought us, but there's also another salvation his life will bring you. Okay. So if you understand the finished work, you can go to the present work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is somebody here? Now, so having said what I've said, who can see their body? Who can see their body? Oh, who can see their body? Can you look at your hand right now? Lift your hand. You can see it? Can you touch your body? Can you pinch yourself? Welcome, sir. Can you pinch yourself? Can you feel it? So you can see your body. You can feel your body. Now, who can see their soul? Who has seen their soul before? Okay, you can see your soul. Who has felt their soul before? You felt your soul? How did you feel it? By your emotions. So you felt sad, you felt happy. No wonder David said, my soul, do not be quiet. So he could feel his soul. Are we together? So your body can be seen and felt. Your soul cannot be seen but felt. But strangely enough, in the wisdom of God, the part of you that has the finished work cannot be seen, cannot be felt. That is why the finished work cannot be based on feelings. Because it is not in the realm of feelings. No. The finished work is not in the realm you feel. It's not in the realm you touch. So when you wake up in the morning and say, I'm the righteousness of God, it's not because I feel righteous. Because that's not where the finished work is deposited. Where it is deposited is in your spirit. So Paul said, if you don't acknowledge what is in your spirit, you cannot communicate your faith. Ah. So my body can be felt, my body can be seen. My soul can be felt, but my spirit, no. I can't see it, sir. I can't feel it. So when the Bible says you have the mind of Christ, it doesn't feel like I have it. Faith, oh my, yeko yaki sabaya. Faith cannot be a feeling. Faith is not good feeling about a decision. No, it's not in the realm of feeling. Where faith is, it's only discovered by one means. Because if you didn't even know, the faith you have, God didn't need to give you 10,000 gallons of faith. Because one day they came to Jesus and said, if we have to forgive 7 times a day, then Lord, increase our faith. Then Jesus answered them in Luke chapter 17, verse 6. He says, you don't need increased faith. Luke 17, 6 says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, it is enough to move a tree into the ocean. So the issue is not the size of your faith. In fact, if you even check the Bible well, all the times Bible spoke of great and little faith, it was not before Jesus. It was not after Jesus died. After Jesus died, there's no description of little or great faith. Because we all have the same measure. The measure. So from apostle to the new convert, we all have been given the measure. Oh, heaven will tell you how you've belittled yourself by the things you've been learning. Pastor told us you have not learned Christ. You've not so learned Christ. There's the way you are learning Christ that's making you belittle yourself. Because, sir, apparently, Jews were considered to have little faith, even his disciples. Every time Jesus said, why do you have little faith? It was not Jews, it was disciples. But the people who had great faith were not even Jews, they were Gentiles. Syrophoenician Canaanite woman and the centurion who was Roman, they had great faith. And they were still not part of the household of Abraham. How come they had great faith? Because the measurement of faith was in what it was used for, not in what they had in its quantity. So when they say somebody has great faith, it is how you use your faith that determines whether it is great or small. Why? We've all received 100 units of faith, but you use 5 units, I use 70 units. When it is measured, they will say, Adam has great faith, you had little faith. But it does not speak of the quantity you have in reserve. So if you are believing for rent, good. I will believe for house. I have great faith, you have little faith. We all have the same portion. You decided to use your faith for rent, small portion. I use my faith for house, big portion. So it is in the usage of faith that the measurement of faith is described. So what am I trying to say? Your spirit has all the deposit of the cross. Hey. But the issue is this, sir. Though your spirit has all the deposit of the cross, there is no device that can properly bring to light how your spirit looks like. What your spirit has. He says something in James 1:22. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers, deceiving yourself. The word deceiving is the word paralogizomai, which means to say, to misreckon a fact. And that misreckoning is like, you go to the bank, you want to deposit 100,000 naira. But the teller enters 10,000 naira. And you tell him, please, there's a mistake. I gave you 100,000 naira. The problem is that, sir, imagine somebody is calling you from overseas and says, I've sent you $250. And then you get to the bank and they give you an amount. You will tell them that I'm supposed to receive $250, not 150. So based on the knowledge of what has been deposited, you are able to insist on reckoning. But if you don't know the amount that was sent, and you get to the bank and they give you 100,000, because of perhaps your poverty disposition, you begin to praise God and dance out and get home, and your friend will call you from America. He said, Oh, thank you so much for that 100K. He said, 100K, uncle, how come? He said, why? He said, no, 100K you sent me. You don't know what it has done. I said, hey, wait. I gave you more than that, oh. Ah, you've left the bank? He said, Chineke, I've torn the receipt. Because I was so excited with 100K.
Yes. That's what I said.
So the reason we are living below what we are living is because we don't know what has been deposited. If you now know what is deposited, Kai, open your mouth wide. Oh, it does not matter location. It matters your allocation. Your venue is not the problem. It's your revenue. I'm speaking to somebody. You can be in a dry land. Genesis 26. This is before Holy Ghost came. A man dwelt in a land and reaped 100-fold to the extent that he didn't just increase in cattle, in goats, in sheep. The same Philistine people he came to meet became his servants. Because Bible says he also increased the men. That means he entered as Israelite, but his team increased with Philistines. He increased the men. If you don't know what is deposited, there will be a problem. So let me show you the simple thing to help you. Now, faith is not a creator. Good place. I've said it, I'll come back next year by the grace of God. But let me break this table and go and rest in Ghana. Pastor C is here, he'll continue. So if they have anybody to blame, they can blame him. Faith is not a creator. I don't blame the people who said it like that because of what the English said. The Bible says by faith, we understand that the worlds were created. But when you check other versions, the Bible says we understand that the worlds were framed. And the word frame means repaired. Actually refurbished. Faith is not a creator. The reason faith is not a creator is because the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ and have access by whom? By whom? Verse 2. Romans 5 verse 2. By whom we have access? By faith into this grace wherein we stand. So faith is accessor, grace is creator. It is grace that came to die. It is faith that access what grace has done. That means anytime you say you have faith, if it is not a positive response to what Jesus has done, it's not faith. So faith is my positive response to what Jesus has done. That means if I want to trace faith, I must go to Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. Amplified translation says, the author and the source of faith. And where did he source faith from? Colon. Oh, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So the cross is the source of faith. And if you think I'm joking, remember in the Bible says in Romans 10 verse 17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. But go to the preceding verse, verse 16. But they have not all believed the gospel, for Isaiah says, who has believed our report? That means faith is from Isaiah 53. If you can find Isaiah 53, Bible says that is the report you believe. And that is what faith is produced from hearing. That's why yesterday I told you that faith and the ability to walk in the miraculous and the supernatural is to constantly feed on everything Jesus declared tetelestai for. As you feed on the finished work, faith comes alive. Hey! In fact, let me even provoke you further. Isaiah 53 ended and Isaiah 54 started. Sing, O barren. She that does not bear with child, break forth into singing. Oh, she that does not travail, for more shall be the children of the desolate woman than the woman that is married, saith the Lord. Then verse 2 says, enlarge thy tents, strengthen thy cause. So he's telling you that because of Isaiah 53, he himself took our infirmities. By his stripes we are healed. The chastisement of our peace was upon his head. Be pleased the Lord that he should afflict his soul, because he saw his seed in his hand. So he prolonged his day. After all that, Isaiah 54 starts, so sing. So the reason barrenness can be reverted is because of the cross. The reason restoration can happen is because of the cross. But do you know the shocking thing? He ends Isaiah 54. In verse 9, he says, like the floods of Noah cleared the earth, I swear, like I did in the days of Noah, I will not destroy the earth again with water. So shall I not be angry with thee. So if you did not know, God is happy with you. Before the cross, he was angry. But somebody received all his anger in the person of Jesus Christ. The wrath of God came on Jesus Christ, stroke upon stroke. Ayayah. That was the day the love of God paid ransom to the justice of God. The love of God was paying ransom, was paying dues to the justice of God. Jesus took the anger of God in his full potency. And when he took it, sir, he said, I will no longer be wrath with thee. No wonder when Paul was now preaching, he said in 1 Timothy 1:11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which has been committed to my trust. The word blessed in the Greek is the word makarios. According to the glorious gospel of the happy God. God is happy. God is happy. God is happy because his son has done something. And God is no longer angry with you. I told you last time, God is no longer angry with you. Anytime he wants to be angry, he looks at the sacrifice and his heart is placated. God is no longer angry. Tell your neighbor, God is no longer angry with me. And when I know this, my faith will begin to work. Hear me now. Hear me now. Before I end, quickly. Hear me now. Hear me now. If faith is accessor, grace is producer, then I must understand this, that the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, your salvation story looks like this. By grace are ye saved through faith. It's not of your own, but it's a gift from God. So grace saved you through faith. The method, the medium by which you access grace is by faith. And what is grace? Unmerited, undeserved, unworked for favor. In the Old Testament, it was called loving kindness. Sometimes it was called mercies. It was called hased. Give thanks unto the Lord for his good, and his mercies endure forever. The Hebrew actually puts the word hased, and hased is actually the Old Testament rendition of the word grace. So give thanks unto the Lord for his good, and his grace endures forever. I want to show you how your faith will work. The next time you want to believe God for money, go back and find where he spoke about your money being supplied. That is how to operate faith. Because the secret is this. If I'm to acknowledge every good thing in me, but the place that good thing is found is my spirit, I cannot see, I cannot feel, then I must find what device they use to detect that spirit. So he says, now be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself, misreckoning a fact. Number 23, go there, James 1:23. He says, now you shouldn't be like a man that beholding his face in a glass, forgetteth what manner of man he is, and forget his natural face. In James 1:23. The person what looks at his face in the mirror, then when he wakes up, Bible says he's looking and beholding his natural face. The word natural face in the Greek, please forgive me for the Greek, because it brings some context to some of these things. The word natural face is the word Genesis prosopon. It means your face of your birth. So he says that if a man does not do the word and only hears it, he is like a man who beholds his face of his birth in a glass. Next verse, 24. And after beholding himself, goes away and straightway forgets what manner of man he is. The Christian's problem is not the deposit. The Christian's problem is forgetting. So Paul didn't tell Timothy, I will lay hands on you again. He said, I put you to remembrance of the gift you received when I laid hands on you. Stir it up, for God has not given you the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So the problem is, you have to activate the remembering ministry of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, remind me what is inside me already. Because you have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's already there. The idea, sir, in this story is that the man has a fit of birth, but after looking in the glass, he stands up and forgets what he saw and lives a normal life. And Bible says he forgets what manner of man he is. The reason is this. In John 3, verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. Then in verse 6, he says what? He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 6, he says what? Whatever is born of flesh is flesh. Whatever is born of spirit is spirit. He was making an allusion to both human birth and spirit birth. Human birth, your parents gave you flesh because they are flesh. But God is spirit, capital S. So he gave birth to spirit, small s. That means what got born again was your spirit, not your flesh. If your spirit is what got born again, that means that the face of your natural birth is the face of your spirit man. And he's saying that your spirit man, there is no mirror on earth that can find it. When you walk in front of a mirror, what image you see is your body. You don't even see your soul. But he's saying there's a device. No mirror, no laser on earth can make you see your spirit. No thermal scanner can scan your spirit. You can't pass through an X-ray machine and it will see your spirit. No. But he says something. Verse 25. Look at 25. He's showing you where the scanner is. I want to leave you with this one. It will help you in this generation. Because sometimes we've matured away from the basics. James 1, 25. We've matured away from the basics that should make us. And what is it? James 1, 25. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continues. The thing is, he said, if you look once, you will forget. But you continue looking. Do you know the continue looking? He is alluding into the glass. The context James was talking about was how women do makeup. The woman who do makeup in the house, huh? Every time she sees mirror, she wants to do touch up. Every 2 minutes when she sweats, she opens her small purse with a small mirror and touch her face. He is telling you that the mirror that will reveal your spirit is the word of God. That means that you read it in the morning. When you are going in a taxi and your mind goes to your financial problem, open it like a mirror for makeup and touch your face again. Touch it again. Because you see, somebody will tell you there is a mole on your nose, and because you've forgotten how your face looks like, you believe it. Somebody tells you your head is big. Have you noticed all the insults that hurt us is not the insult of our body, but the insult of our head? Because nobody can see their face.
That's right.
Your eyes does not come out of your body to see your face. I can see your face, but I can't see my own face. So what image do I have of myself? A mirror. The reason I think I'm fair is because of a mirror. The reason I have freckles on my face is because of a mirror. So when I look in a glass, the glass has given me the perception of myself. So anytime I'm drawing myself, it is a perception I saw in the glass. That means that as long as I'm not beholding the glass, I don't know how I look like. That is why Satan's greatest war against you is to take away the opportunity to continuously look into the law of the word. If you don't keep looking, you'll forget what you look like. Somebody will tell you you're a failure. Somebody will tell you are diseased. Somebody will tell you are damned. Somebody will tell you that you are condemned. God will never forgive you. And because you've not looked into the perfect law, you keep feeling it's true. It's true. It's true. But it's time to look at your face well. Look at it like you do. The women do makeup. Every 10 minutes, 20 minutes, anytime the heat comes out and they start sweating, they want to do touch up. They will tell you, I'm coming to preach on pulpit, so I need to do freshen up a bit. All that thing they are doing is a usage of a mirror. So he's telling you, as soon as you go through the day and your boss says something you didn't like, your husband used a rude word, and you are beginning to have a reaction that is causing you to forget what manner of man you are, go and open your mirror of makeup and begin to look at how you look like and say, anger dwells in the bosom of a fool. As soon as you look at it, you just close. I'm done. This anger, I've ended though. And it says, when you operate like this, you will be blessed in every deed. Everything you do. Jesus, I leave you with this revelation. The Bible is a written document of a person. In fact, Revelation 1 starts, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which John saw, which was signified by an angel. So the entire book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of Antichrist. Church of God, stop waiting for Antichrist. We are expecting our King, not Antichrist. Maranatha is not the devil is coming. Maranatha is our King. Our bridegroom is coming. Get back to the world. So revelation is not the distraction of the world. The book of Revelation 1:1 starts. This book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That means the entire scary thing you saw, everything is about Jesus. It's time to go back to the word. Don't read it looking for revelation. Look it for the one who is being revealed. For he said to them in the Gospels, John 5:39, search ye the scriptures. For in them you think. That means if you go looking for eternal life, you have missed it. Eternal life is me. They are they that testify of me. The finished work is a person. But thank God the person didn't remain in the tomb. He rose up because of need. A testament is for full force until the testator dies. That means New Testament didn't begin when Jesus was alive. New Testament didn't begin in Mark. New Testament didn't begin in John. Though they were written for the purpose of history, New Testament began when he said tetelestai and rose up from the grave. Test to full force until the testator dies. So when he said it is finished, the testament was activated. But thank God, he rose up as mediator. That means that Jesus became the advocate who opened the book to tell you that, do you know something? All things are yours. Whether life, whether death, whether things on earth, whether things in heaven. If you go for the reading of someone's will, they will tell you, you have a house in Lagos. You have 2 houses in Abuja. You have a farm in Gombe. You have a portion of flat in the university campus. You know what is available, sir. That becomes the basis of 1 John 5:14. Anything you ask according to his will, not specific will, the will of what has been finished. Because if I'm asking for a house in Ghana, the will says the house is in Abuja. That means when I'm praying, I pray with my mind focused on everything Jesus procured. He said, when I pray like this, nothing can be refused. But when I pray without the knowledge of the will, and I'm praying, begging, oh God, have mercy on me. Yesterday I told you, in Christ, we don't beg for mercy. We take mercy. Because it's already available. God has already performed mercy. Kai. We come boldly. We are not begging for mercy. We come boldly to possess our mercy. I'm showing you a secret today. It's time to pray differently. It's time to pray differently. Because you know what has been finished for you. So now he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. After redemption, Satan is left with deception. Casting down strongholds. After redemption, Satan is left with deception. Because it says, finally, my brethren, Ephesians 6:10, put on the whole armor of God. Be strong in the Lord. You know why? Because that armor you are come to wear is the same armor God wears. The same way David had to wear Saul's armor. He says the armor of God is not armor from God. It's armor of God. Because if you read Isaiah 59:16, he said God sought for a man but could not find anybody. So he himself decided to come and save man. And when he was coming to save man, sir, he wore the breastplate of righteousness. And he wore the helmet of salvation. So the helmet of salvation God wore to fight, he brought it on you. That means everything God wore to come and deliver us is the very armor he put on you. That's why I said, firstly, you have to be strong in the same strength of God to wear what God wears. Yes. Now, when you wear what God wears, he says that you will be able to fight, resist, and destroy the wiles. The word wiles in the Greek is methodias, where you get method. Satan doesn't have weapons. He has methods. Hey. Have you heard the sword of Satan before? How come you have sword of spirit and somebody has method and you are scared? How come you have shield? He has no shield and you are scared. In fact, when you look at the battlefield, he is disarmed. You are fully clad, yet you are scared. Because he's scared. You are scared. You don't know. He's the only lion that roars before he finds prey. Lion roars when the prey is found. Sir, he said, be sober. Be vigilant. Because the enemy, your adversary, is roaring like an angry lion, now seeking. So tomorrow morning, Satan doesn't have who he will devour. He is now looking for who to devour. And how did he get you? Anytime you are careful for something, you become devourable by Satan. The area of your life you have problems with the devil, is the area you have care for. That's why I say, cast your care like a garment. You see, when you get home and you are tired, you just drop your garment somewhere and go and sleep. He said, that's how you should cast your care. Don't cast it and come and pick it in the morning and say, Lord, I cast it last night, now I'm better. Can I handle the matter now? No, cast it and leave it. 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 I said, cast it and leave it. Cast it and leave it. Lady, I'm talking to you. You are looking for a husband. Cast it and leave it. Cast it and focus on the Lord. Cast it and focus on the Lord. But pastor, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Then he says, but put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand against the evil day. Do you know the word is withstand? I just want to show you a small statement, then I leave you. The word withstand in the Greek is the word antihistemi. If you know antihistemi, in medical science, some people have certain things in their body that react to certain foods. Seafood, nuts, milk, all those things. They begin to react. And when they begin to react, there's a protein in your body called histamine. It begins to activate your immune system. And when your histamine is produced, the thing you ate generated histamine. And histamine, when it's too much in your body, can kill you. So the immune system produces something called antihistamine. And the antihistamine system is to prevent the action of the histamines in your body from killing you. So one of it it does is the cell of your body, it adds more blood and water to it. So the cells swell. So your lip will swell. Your tongue will swell. It's a process of defending you. You begin to itch on your body. The nerves begin to work a lot. Your body is itching. That itch is a defense system. Did you know fever is defense? Because fever is when your body is going too cold. Your body begins to create heat. That's what fever does. Do you know when you purge, it's a defense? That's why sometimes when you pray against purge, it doesn't stop. Because your purging is your healing. Hey, there's something in your stomach, your body has to flush it. So after prayer, you will still use the loo. Because something is there. Hey, how come when you go to hospital, they don't release you to, they say they want bowel movement. Something must move. You have to pass gas. They say you are fine now. Kai, I'm showing you something. Look, if you understand the finished work, you understand that some of the things you are calling God's fighting you is actually a defense mechanism for you to walk in the divine life. Sir, this antihistamine, do you know what it does? It begins to fight against the swelling. It begins to fight against all the allergies you are beginning to experience. He says, when you put on the whole armor of God, you are able to position yourself to create anti-defense systems in your divine life. And what is the armor of God? Belt of truth. Word of truth. Breastplate of righteousness. Word of righteousness. Shield of faith. Word of faith. Sword. The rhema of the word. Everything. Helmet of salvation is assurance of salvation, which has to do with the word of security. He shall not be able to pluck you from my hand. So before John 10:30, I and my father are one. He said, you are in my hand. No one can pluck. And you are in the father's hand. No one can pluck. So you and I and the father, we are one in our holding you to make sure you never lose your calling. So neither death, pestilence, sickness, tribulation can separate you from the love of God. That is helmet of salvation. Many people know they are saved, but they don't believe they will be saved. They feel they will lose it one day. If blood and booze, their blood can save you for a year, is it the Lord's blood that can expire? It's time to see what Jesus has done. He went far, sir. He went far. He went far to give us everlasting forgiveness. He went far. The prodigal son came home because he knew his daddy would not kill him. Because according to the law of Israel in Deuteronomy 21, the bastard, when he returns home, his parents must stone him with the elders of the town. But he didn't fear death because he knew the heart of his father. Many are not coming back to Jesus because they feel that this crime I did, God can never forgive me. Do you know if Judas was patient enough, he would have been restored?
Yeah.
Rabba, Put on the armor of God, clad in the word, belt of truth, word of truth. Everything he said. And when you fully equip yourself in the various departments of the word, anytime Satan comes, you can. So fear is an allergy. Yeah. Doubt is an allergy of the kingdom life. Worry is part of the thing. Yeah. So when it comes, worry makes you swell. Cares make you frustrated. All those things you are dealing with. But he says, when you put on the armor of God, those things that will cause allergic reaction in the kingdom, go and take your time and study. God has never made demons your problem. Your problems were self-generated issues from indulging in the wrong diet. He said, feed on the word. Feed on the word. Tell neighbor, feed on the word. As you keep feeding on the word, you begin to understand that fear is Satan's first instrument. Because when man fell, the first proof of the fall, I heard thy voice, I was afraid. Anytime you're afraid, you are not feeding. We go to the other side, sir. And Jesus didn't rebuke them for rebuking him. He rather said, why did you fear? When he came to Peter and he was sinking, why did you doubt? When they said, Lord, why couldn't you do it? Because of your unbelief. So when you go and investigate worry, unbelief, fear, doubt, you will now begin to understand. Pastor says something very nicely in Joss. He says, worry generates when you shift your gaze from heaven to the earth. That's how worry starts. How we eat tomorrow. Pastor, I like your English, but what we eat tonight? That worry is an allergic reaction that will give you symptoms that will destroy your walk with the Lord. Lift your hands and begin to speak to the Lord in Jesus' mighty name.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.